Genesis chapter 28 this morning. And we have an account here in Genesis chapter 28. Man, anybody else want to go to junior church? Like, Jacob is running for his life from his brother. His brother's name is Esau. Jacob, with the encouragement of his mother, had tricked his father into thinking that he was Esau, and Esau was the elder son. So Jacob thought he was dying, and so he called his two sons, and he said, I'm going to give my blessing. He called his elder son, I'm going to give my blessing to you, Esau. The elder son, typically, in the Bible, received the birthright. Esau sold his birthright back in chapter 25 for a bowl of pottage. You know, you need to be careful that you don't sacrifice the long term on the temporary. He said, I have a hunger that I'm going to die, and you're cooking some pottage, and I'm hungry, and I want a bowl of that pottage. His brother Jacob said, well, I'll sell it to you. And he said, well, what's the cost? He said, give me your birthright. Give me the right to be the leader of the family when our dad is gone. And he said, well, my birthright's not going to do me any good because I'm starving. I don't really think he was that hungry. If he was starving, he probably couldn't have talked, right? But he just saw the immediate. That must have been a really good bowl of chili. I preached one time, how much did that bowl of chili really cost? I don't know if you were here. I had a can of chili, and then I had a bowl, and I put it in there, and then I had a bag of dried beans. Remember that? I put that inside of a briefcase, and at the end of the sermon, I grabbed the bowl, and I threw it out. Everybody thought it was the chili, and it was the dried beans. And everybody stayed very much awake. But how much did that bowl of chili really cost? Well, it cost a lot because he sold his birthright. And now Esau loses out on the priestly leadership of the family, being the instructor for God of the family, and then the blessings of the land, the physical inheritance of possessing the land that his father had. In chapter 27, verse number 43, his mother, Rebekah, says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Well, didn't go so good when he did it last time. But and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. Laban was the master trickster. And she said, I want you, because your name means trickster, I want you to go learn from the best, Laban. And he did. He learned from the best. Laban tricked him, and then he tricked Laban. And finally, he became the ultimate scam artist, okay? Unfortunately, that part of his life. So he flees to Laban, his uncle, to Padan Aram. As he's on his way there, he stops at a place called Luz. We read it here in the scripture. In Genesis chapter 28, he stops at this place called Luz. And he spends the night there. Now, talk about a firm pillow. Did you see what he had for a pillow? It wasn't my pillow. It wasn't even my pillow 1.0. I got one of those pillows. I didn't sleep. I like Mike Lindell. He seems like a nice guy. But the pillow just didn't work for me. And, but, you know, he takes a stone for a pillow. Talk about a tough guy. And so, what are you going to sleep on? I'm going to sleep on a stone. Wow, don't mess with that guy. And so he has this pillow, a stone. We even sing a song like that. And like the prophet, my pillow, a stone, don't we? And so all night long, he's sleeping there in Luz. And we get to verse number 12, and we read it, and the Bible says that he has a dream. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I guess this is a good week to have a dream and say I had a dream, right? But he has this dream, and now the Bible here describes his dream, and the Lord is at the top of the ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And here's a promise to the nation of Israel. I like our flag of Israel out there. I support Israel 100%. And so we find here that God promised to Abraham and God promised to Isaac and God promised to his posterity the seed of Abraham would inherit the land, not just from the river to the sea, but all of that whole area. And boy, oh boy, it's a big area. And so we find here that the blessing of to the whole world, he said, the people that bless your posterity, I will bless them. The people that bless Israel, I'll bless them. The people that don't bless Israel, they're not going to have my blessing upon them. Now, when he wakes up, what is the first thing that he says? Did you see it? He's having this dream, and he wakes up, verse 16. And the first thing he says is what? Surely the Lord is in this place. That's a wonderful thing to say. But the last part, and I knew it, not. Surely the Lord is in this place. Well, that'd be a great thing to say, but I knew it not, is sad. You know, it's more typical for people in the Old Testament to associate the presence of the Lord with a place. Now we know that the Lord is everywhere. He's not limited by a place. David said this, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. David said, I can't go anywhere without the presence of God. If I go over here, the presence of God is there. If I run from God, Jonah tried that, right? And God found him in the middle of the sea. Thank God, God found him in the whale's belly. God still used him, but he tried to get away from God. So you can't get away from God. His presence is everywhere. Here's the thought. I do not want to be asleep in my life and wake up one day and say what he said. You ought not to want to be asleep in your life and wake up one day and say, surely the Lord is in this place. I've been going through the motions. I've been kind of sleepwalking through life. I've been going through every day and every activity and every person in my life and my family and my friends and my loved ones. And I woke up one day and said, wow, all of this time, the Lord has been present in my life and I was sleeping. I missed it. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Don't miss the presence of God in your life. God is active in your life every day. God is present in your life every day. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in your walk with God, God is present in your life every day. Even a lost person, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God's trying to show you every day when you wake up and you see the sun come up. Well, some days it comes up, right? And you see the sun come up in the morning. Hey, I created that. I'm a wonderful God. I keep the sun in its orbit. I make it go down in the west every night. I make the stars and the moon. I made the trees and the grass and the animals and the plants. And I made you. Everything is fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't miss it. How about several areas this morning that we should not miss the presence of God? How about, first of all, the area of personal prayer? The area of personal prayer. The presence of the Lord is always with us. Do we communicate with him? Every single day, when I wake up in the morning, God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, has been there all night. And when I wake up, his presence is with me. And when I go through my day, his presence is with me. You go through your day, and whatever you do, when you go to work, when you go to, down the street, when you get in your car, the presence of the Lord is with you wherever you go. Do we communicate with the Lord? Can you imagine? Can you imagine having somebody and you were there in their presence and you didn't say anything to them? Mr. Carlson, come here for a minute. So can you imagine? So have a seat, would you? Thanks. So here's my wife, right? 35 years this year, happily married. Thank you very much. Can you imagine I just sit here and never talk to her? What'd you do? She says, sometimes it'd be nice. I talk all the time. Never say, how's your day? Never say, how are you doing? Never help her with anything. Never just pretend that she's not even here.
What kind of marriage would we have? Thank you. What kind of marriage do you think we'd have? Not that we do have. We have a great marriage. Do you think we'd have a good marriage? No. I think we'd have a non-communicative marriage, right? We'd have a rough marriage. We'd have a marriage where we never get in arguments, right? Never talk to her. But you get the idea? We could live in the same house with somebody and never talk to them. And it would be a cold, icy situation. And yet God lives with us and God created us and God saved us. And we never talk to him. Or we talk to him just a little bit. We just talk to him when we need something. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm sitting up here. Did you make supper yet? I mean, the first thing I say after all day, right? Where's my food, right? That's going to be a great marriage, right? Did you clean the house, right? I mean, wow. She'd say, did you go to work, right? Why didn't you go to work? But can you imagine? That would be very uncomfortable. And yet the God who created us lives with us every day, and he's with us all the time, and we ignore him sometimes. How must he feel? Do we take advantage? That's the better word. Do we take advantage of an audience with God? Can you imagine if you had God's ear? What would that be like? That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty special. I got to meet our new mayor, and he actually knocked on my door. And so we invited him in the kitchen, and we didn't talk to him. No, we did. We talked to him. We prayed with him. And so I went to his inauguration the other day, and we have a Bible in the office with his name on it. So someday soon here, I know he's a busy guy, so someday soon I'm gonna. I have his phone number. He gave me his phone number. So I have the mayor of Manchester's phone number on my phone. Now, I don't, you know, wear that out, okay? But one of these days I'm going to call him and say, hey, I have something for you. I want to give you a gift. I gave him a personal letter. I don't overuse that. But can you imagine if the mayor came by and he says, Pastor, I want to get your input on some things. What do you need? What's going on in our city? What do you see? What's your perspective? All these people, right? They talk to you, right? You know these people. They have, each of them has an input too, and you must hear about it. How can I help? Just say nothing and walk away, right? Yet the God who created us, we have his number. It's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And yet we never call him, and we never take advantage of it, and we never talk to him. How frustrated he must be. Look, I just want to help you. I just want to be involved in your life. I just want to meet your needs. You're my child. I love you. We have the ability at any time to pray. Someone said this. If your day is hemmed in with prayer, it's less likely to become unraveled. How about this one? Somebody said this. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? We go through our day, sometimes it gets crazy, right? You have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon. No idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We go through our day. How about Tuesday? It's going to snow, right? You throw that into everything else. We have no idea what's going to happen. Sometimes our day gets crazy. But we're in the presence of the Lord every minute. To have the Lord's presence and not take advantage of it would be a lost opportunity at best. What do we miss every day? Because we're unaware. We're unaware of the presence of God. Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Wow, I could have had a communication with the God who created me while I was going through that, but I chose not to. Determine today, I am going to know God's presence in prayer every day. I'm not going to sleepwalk through life and not know that I'm in the presence of God. I'm going to determine that God's presence in prayer every day is going to be my priority. Maybe make a note. Hey, put a note on your mirror. When you wake up in the morning and you see that note could say, pray about everything. What should I do today? Pray about everything.
Maybe you'd have a Bible verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Hey, the older folks here would know what this is. My mom used to be able to clean the house and do the dishes and make a meal. All the while, she would be talking on the phone. You could take that phone off the wall, had a 25-foot-long cord, put it on her shoulder, and then she'd do all the other housework all the while she's on the phone. Remember those phones? That was kind of nice. You didn't have call waiting, all right? And back in the day, when you had a phone like that, when someone else called, they got a busy signal. Hey, if you get God on the phone in the morning and you shoulder the phone all day long, what are you doing? I'm cooking, God. Here's the meal, or I'm working on this, or I'm at work, or I'm dealing with this situation. Can you give me help with that? When the devil calls, guess what he would get? A busy signal. Exactly. He'd get a busy signal. Pray without ceasing. We sing that little song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We should carry everything to God in prayer. Well, that's a small matter. Well, there are no small matters with God. You know, when you have kids, especially when they're little, right? They come to you. Mommy, Daddy, I got a boo-boo on my finger, right? Like, toughen up, right? Dad's like, just toughen up. Mom's like, oh, let me see it. Kiss it, right? They make the paper, right? Hey, I made a paper. Let me see that. Let's put it on the refrigerator, right? We come to God with our little thing, and the God who creates the universe and makes everything and sustains everything, we bring him our little thing, and he stops everything. Whoa, stop. Time out. My child's talking to me. You know that voice in the grocery store. Mommy, right? There's like 60 kids in there. Laser beam. My child's talking to me. It is said that there are at least 650 prayers in Scripture. There's probably more, but 650 prayers at least. If the people who called upon God had been oblivious of the presence of God, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not, and they tried to do things on their own, there would have been less answers to prayer because prayers wouldn't have gone forth. Listen, if we would say, I've got a situation in my life, I need to pray. Deliverance would have never come if many people in the Bible had been oblivious that God hears and God answers prayer. Forgiveness would not have been received because people wouldn't have asked God for forgiveness in prayer. Angels would not have been dispatched from heaven in answers to prayer because people wouldn't have prayed. How many times you read your Bible and God dispatched an angel, a messenger, or many angels in an answer to prayer? Hannah would not have had Samuel if she hadn't prayed. Dear God, give me a son. How rich is the Bible because of Samuel's life. The anointer of kings, the prophet of Israel, the man of God in Ramah. Where did he come from? An answer to prayer. Surely the Lord is in this place. Hannah said, and I knew it. Wisdom would not have been given to Solomon and to others if they had not known the presence of God. Fire would not have fallen from heaven for Elijah. Lives would have not have been spared and lengthened if they had not prayed. Victory would not have been given in battles if there wasn't prayer. Help would not have been sent from God in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 14. Sometimes that one word, help! God sent help to Nehemiah. Relief came to Job because he said, I know the presence of God is here in my life. 72 prayers are found in Psalms alone. Jeremiah records at least 15. Cleansing would not have happened in Isaiah 6 without prayer. Habakkuk prayed for revival, and it was a long prayer, in Habakkuk chapter number 3. Jesus gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter number 6. The lepers were healed in answer to prayer in Matthew 8 verse number 2. The centurion prayed for his servant to be healed in Matthew chapter 8, and he was healed. The disciples prayed, Lord, save us, we perish, in Matthew 8 and verse number 25, and he answered their prayer. Prayers for healing were given in the Bible because people said, the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it. A woman for her daughter was answered in Matthew 15. Peter was saved from drowning in Matthew 14. Two blind men had their prayers answered in Matthew chapter 9. A woman prayed for herself in Matthew 9 verse 21, and she received an answer from the Lord. A man prayed for his son in Matthew 17 verse 15. His prayer was answered. Jesus, our Savior, prayed on the cross. In Matthew 27, a nobleman prayed for his son in John 4, verse 49, and his prayer was answered. The disciples prayed for boldness and power in Acts chapter 4, and their prayer was answered. Oh, we need to pray. Don't go through life saying, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not, and wake up one day and you miss the presence of God in prayer. Stephen prayed for his enemies in Acts chapter 7. The Lord answered that prayer in Acts chapter 9, where Saul of Tarsus received Christ as his Savior. Paul prayed for instruction in Acts chapter 9. Peter prayed for the resurrection of Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. God answered their prayers. Don't miss the presence of the Lord in prayer. The presence of the Lord in prayer was available in so many places. And the presence of the Lord is available in your life every place you are. You know, you look through the Bible and you find out, where did God hear and where did God answer prayers? Well, I just wrote down just a few of them. God answered prayers on battlefields, in prisons and dungeons, in a whale's belly. God answered prayer in the wilderness. God answered prayer in an upper room. God answered prayer in the temple. God answered prayer on a rooftop. God answered prayer by a riverside and a seashore. God answered prayer at a bedside, on a ship, in a house, in a palace. And the Bible says men ought to pray everywhere. How about the next thing? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Don't miss the presence of God in prayer. I need to pray more. I think all of us could pray more. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Could I have a man read a verse for us? Matthew 18. I'll give you it in a minute. Matthew 18. Number two, don't miss the presence of God in our church. Is church important to God? The Bible says that God shed his blood for the church. Acts 20:28. How many things do you shed your blood for? I would shed my blood, I would like to think, for my Savior. I'd like to think I'd shed my blood for my family. I'd like to think I'd shed my blood for my country, the United States of America. Loved ones, friends. And after that, the list is pretty small. Why? Because we shed our blood for things that are very important to us. God shed his blood for the church. Can you imagine something that is so precious to someone like God, and it's not important to someone like us, maybe? Is church important to God? Yes. Matthew 18, verse number 20. Could you read that? Now, Jesus said that, right? Where two or three are gathered together in my name. One, two, three. Okay, we made it. One, two, three. There's at least three, right? Is Jesus Christ here today? Yeah. He's everywhere. But he's here in his church today. You read the book of Revelation in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. He walks among the seven golden candlesticks. He holds the angel of the church in his hand. He walks among the candlesticks in the church and he gives his critique on what's going on. Boy, it's important to him. Would we act any different if Jesus was personally here today? Can you imagine if we walked in today and Jesus was sitting in the front row? We'd probably figure out we should go to the bathroom before the sermon, right? That'd be the first thing we'd figure out. I'm not going to get up and disturb the sermon. Jesus is here, right? Can you imagine if Jesus was preaching the sermon? We'd pay attention, wouldn't we? You know what? I'd walk down the aisle.
I'd say, Jesus is here. He's preaching the message. It's a perfect message. What if he showed up at your ministry today? I taught a Sunday school class this morning. What if he showed up in my Sunday school class? Pastor, you really didn't study, did you? I didn't think it was important. Why? Because I didn't know the presence of the Lord was here. Wouldn't that be terrible? How about this? What if he showed up and asked you why you don't have a ministry today? Did I say that? Sometimes I get spiritual Tourette's syndrome, and I just say things I don't know. What if he showed up and he says, how come I died for you, and you're here, and you don't have anything to do? You don't do anything for me? What? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How could we be in the presence of the Lord and not lift a finger for him to serve others? Think about this. Sometimes if we treated our job like we treated our church, ask myself, would I get promoted or would I get fired? Just a thought. Okay, moving right along. Number three, Mark chapter 10. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place. We read the verse. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Look, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not in your church, you should find another church. You should. But if he's in your church, then you should treat it like the Lord's here. His presence is here. This is serious stuff. We're not playing patty cake. It's a big deal. Mark chapter 10. And look at verse number 7. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. I said, number one, in the area of prayer, we should not say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. We ought to pray all the time about everything, everywhere we are, and nothing for which we shouldn't pray. We ought to take our church responsibility as it's urgent. Why? Because the Lord's here. I'm doing this for the Lord, not for me. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. Listen, we're here 32 years later, okay? It wasn't always like this. Okay, I can tell you that. It wasn't always like this. There were a lot of days where it was just me and you and maybe three or four other people at church. You know what that gets to be? It gets to be discouraging. But you know what? The Lord was always here. See what you do? You just keep going. You say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if anything's going to happen, but I know the Lord called me here. And he didn't change his mind. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So you just keep on going. The Lord is in our church. The Lord is in our prayer. Number three, our marriages. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. You know, we didn't look at our spouse and say, you know what? The Lord is in the presence of my marriage and the Lord is in my home. And I'm going to treat it like that. Marriage is the first institution in the Bible. You look at the Garden of Eden, there was one man and one woman. They didn't have much of a choice, did they? Christian singles. There's one. Got one hit. Right? They're not much of a choice. And God said they were a husband and they were a wife. God established the home before God established the church. What does God think of the home? A lot. The devil thinks a lot of homes too. He's trying to wreck them all the time. We ought to look at our marriage and our home and say, listen, that spouse that God gave me, that wife that God gave me, that husband that God gave me. Listen, if you're a man, it's a wife. If you're a wife, it's a guy, okay? No matter what the popular culture is. I ought to look at our spouse and say, you know what? This is important. The presence of the Lord is in my home. As a man, I need to be the head of my home under Christ. I need to lead my home under God. I need to go to this book and find out the instructions that God has for me and obey them faithfully in our home, in our marriage. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Surely the Lord is in this place in our prayers. Surely the Lord is in this place in our church. Surely the Lord is in this place in our marriage, in our home. Surely the Lord is in this place. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children, our heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Our children, the Lord is in this place. I was teaching the class upstairs, the married class, and we're by the nursery, so the babies were crying. And I was just reminiscing. I said to the folks, I said, we were married for 14 years before we had children. And it was always kind of funny. Some kid would scream, and I'd say, is that my kid, right? Because it never was my kid. And then we had our own children. And then it was always, that is my kid, right? It was always my kid screaming. And they're still screaming, and they're 19 and 20, right? But, we look at that and think, what an inconvenience. What a lot of hard work. You brought them into this world. God gave them to you. And they are a heritage of the Lord. As much work as your children are, what a blessing. Listen, on your day, I know as a parent, right? You get frustrated, right? I know, I never got frustrated. Yes, I did. As a parent, you get frustrated. You wonder sometimes, what am I doing, right? Don't miss it. The presence of the Lord is in your family. When they're sick, right, and all you can do is just barely get through the day, and you don't get through the night because you're not sleeping, right? You need to realize children are an heritage of the Lord. God gave you those children. They are precious. God gave you those children. They're a gift from heaven. And God put them in your home because he trusted you to take care of them like he would because he's not here in person. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? Instead of looking at your kids as an inconvenience, why don't you look at them with the presence of God and say, you know what? Thank God for these children. Thank God for these children. Children are wonderful. Children are a blessing, not a burden. Children are a gift from God. The Bible says, happy is the man. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty hunter. If some of you guys bow hunt, right? I have a hard time hunting with a rifle. I can't imagine a bow. And you take that arrow and you pull it back and you shoot that thing, and that arrow goes farther than you can. Those children are going to live into the next generation. Those children are going to outlive you, Lord willing. What a blessing. You better take the opportunity today to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why? Because they're a heritage of the Lord. Oh, I know. Sometimes they can really test your patience. I could tell you stories. You could tell me stories. My dad could tell stories about me, but I bribe him. Okay? He's here today. No, I don't want to tell those stories. Next point. Last point. Salvation. The Lord is in this place. Don't miss it. Don't say I knew it not. Okay? The Lord is in this place. You can pray anytime, anywhere, everywhere you ought to pray about everything. The Lord is in this place in our church. Don't miss it. He walks around up and down, person to person. He's here today. He's at your home today too, but he's here today. And the church is special to him because he shed his blood for it. We ought to be engaged and involved. The Lord is in this place in your marriage. Get the directions from the Word of God and operate like God wants you to from his Word. The Lord is in this place in your children. And the Lord is in this place in salvation. Maybe you're here today. Look, the sign over the front door says Gospel Baptist Church. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians 15, it is the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ died on a cross. He shed his blood for our sins. He's perfect. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. And he paid for all of our sins. Our sin is what keeps us from going to heaven. For the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die and go straight to hell to pay for my sin. But God loved me so much and God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God put Jesus here in your place to die for your sins and my sins and pay for our hell so we'd never have to go there. And he said if we would simply accept that gift of God, which is eternal life, and have Jesus Christ become our Savior and our only way to heaven and put our faith and trust in him,
and be born into his family, he would give us the gift of God, which is salvation, eternal life, and he'd take us to heaven someday. Don't miss it. The presence of the Lord is here today in the gospel. The story is being told. Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you'd put your faith and trust in him, he'd take you to heaven. That's the most important thing. If we don't have that presence of God, the other presences don't really matter. We have to first accept Christ as our Savior. Maybe you're here today without Jesus Christ. Make today the day where you receive him as your Savior. Let's pray together.